Good morning.
Good morning.
For this morning's talk, if I had to name it, I would call it Divine Attention. And as many of you know, I've talked about attention over and over again through the years. But this morning, I'm going to help myself talk about attention by sharing some stories about Ollie, my dog, and Cindy's teenage son, Colby. And I'm going to start my talk with a story, a Zen story, which is really a koan that I've told many times before, and it's the story of a conversation between Zen Master Ichu and a student. And Zen Master Ichu was a master calligrapher. And he was approached by a student who asked him to write something of great wisdom. So he took his brush and he wrote the character for attention. And the student said to him, "Is that all?" So Ichu picked up his brush again. And this time he wrote the character twice. So he wrote attention, attention. Now the student was starting to become irritable. And he said, "That doesn't seem profound or subtle to me." And so in response, Master Ichu again picked up the brush and this time three times wrote the character for attention, writing attention, attention, attention. Frustrated at this point, the student demanded, "Well, what does attention mean anyway?" And the Zen master looked at him and replied, "Just simply, attention means attention." Now, Ichu could have responded in a different way. He could have grabbed the student by the nose and twisted his nose. Or he could have taken the student outside and pointed to the crescent moon in the western sky, surrounded by the evening stars. Each action provoking a more direct experience of attention. But either way, attention is just attention. Our old friend Mary Oliver once said, "Pay attention, be astonished, and tell about it. We're soaked in distractions." So the first story that I want to share with you is a story about our dog Oliver, who is a schnoodle, which is a combination of schnauzer and poodle. He's about probably as big as this table, weighs about 25 pounds, depending upon how many times that week he got into the garbage. And one of the things that, even though it's bloody cold early in the morning, and many times there's either snow on the ground or ice on the ground, I take great delight, nevertheless, in taking Oliver for a walk, and delight in watching how he experiences the world through his nose, how he pays olfactory attention. And as we walk, he'll smell a tree or the grass or the neighbor's stone wall. And it seems that he does this to discover what other dogs have passed through. If there's snow on the ground, he'll stick his nose deep into the snow and then snort with excitement and then move on to another spot and repeat the same activity with equal undisturbable attention. Sometimes he'll follow squirrel tracks, sniffing intently as he goes. And then sometimes what is revealed to him is so delightful that he'll pick up his head, freeze for a few seconds, and then sprint around in circles. And coincidentally to this talk and wanting to share this experience of observing Oliver pay exquisite attention, I discovered that there's a short poem by Mary Oliver, which maybe some of you are familiar with, entitled, "For I Will Consider My Dog Percy." And she too learns from her dog's constant engagement with life. This very brief poem goes, "For he came to me impaired, and therefore certain of a short life. yet thoroughly rejoice in each day. For when he came upon mud, he splashed through it. For when he sniffed it, it was as if he were being pleased by every part of the world. Now that's truly paying attention. You know, the family dog can teach us how to practice Zen, how to be present to the moment. In each dog story, there's a certain amount of joy to paying attention. It's not the, you know, rigid routine of paying attention. There's joy, there's excitement in paying attention. And my other attention story starts out at a place in Madison, New Jersey, called the Blue Pearl, P-R-U-L. And recently, Cindy has taken up knitting. The Blue Pearl is a knitting shop. And so we were walking in town, and she mentioned that she wanted to go there. Instead of being a rigid male and saying, well, while you do that, I'll go and buy the New York Times, I decided, let me just go and see what this is all about. And the store was exquisite. There were just thousands, I guess, rolls of yarn of all different colors, but the colors were fabulous. They were vibrant and beautiful. And it was in the afternoon, so the store has a great big window in the front, and the light was shining through, and it really brought out the quality of the colors. And there were racks of scarves and hats, and I thought they were for sale, but they weren't. They were just had been made by different people with different stitches and everything. And it was really beautiful. Now, my interaction with this experience, other than listening to the conversation that Cindy had with some of the women there who were sitting knitting, was really a visual one. Just taking in the quality, the beauty of the shapes and the stitch and the color. So Cindy bought some of this yarn and brought it home. And she had plans of making I think it's called a cowl. It's a scarf, but it's connected. You just pull it over your head and you wear it around your shoulders and neck. And her son discovered it. And his first comment was, as he was holding it and examining it, was he liked the color. He thought it would be a cool color for what she was going to make. But he didn't stop at his visual interaction with this new world, where I did. He then started to unravel the ball of yarn. And he spent a fair amount of time just feeling the texture of it. And he made, I don't remember what they were anymore, but some comments about the feeling of the texture, the thickness of the yarn. And then he picked it up and he put his nose in it and he smelled it. And he said, you know, Mom, I can smell the lanolin in the yarn, which was incredible. And so I'm sitting there, I'm saying, my God, this is beautiful. What a wonderful example of really paying attention. And then the final thing he did was he unraveled the yarn and wound it up again. Just that physical interaction, sort of the dance with the yarn. Very unusual for a boy. He said, Mom, can you teach me how to do this? So I thought that it was just a wonderful presentation. You know, he should be here talking about it rather than me. A presentation of how to pay attention. So what makes this divine? In each of these stories, the participants have one thing in common. And it's true that each of us, the dogs, myself, Colby, Cindy also, were fully attentive to the experience. But when we're paying full attention like that, deeply engrossed as Ollie was with the smells of the world, or Colby was with the newer interaction with the yarn, there's something more profound taking place. And that is, for that brief period of time, there is no separation. There is no observer observing something. There is just the direct experience. And it's this at-one-ment, this attention, which connects us to the divine, to the wholeness of life. When our minds are empty, we're just having the direct experience, the direct attention of what's before us. And that's what Zazen is about. That's what Zen practice is about. Entering the divine, losing the disconnection from the world around us and becoming one. And again, I probably owe Mary Oliver royalties at this point for all the times I've used poems of hers in talks. She writes a poem called Mindful. Every day I see or hear something that more or less kills me with delight, that leaves me like a needle in the haystack of light. It was what I was born for, to look, to listen, to lose myself inside this soft world, to instruct myself over and over in joy and acclimation. Nor am I talking about the exceptional, the fearful, the dreadful, the very extravagant, but of the ordinary, the common, the very drab. The daily presentations. O good scholar, I say to myself, how can I help you but grow wise with such teachings as these? The untrimmable light of the world, the ocean's shine, the prayers that are made out of grass. Once again, to me, Mary does an exquisite job of making poetical this experience of paying attention deeply and fully and becoming one with the world around us, fulfilling our Zen mission. Thank you.